The following is a lecture to Gurukula teachers, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on September 24, 2014, in Vrindavan, India.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamsha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine.
So, I'm speaking to the teachers of the Gurukula. You wanted to make the announcement? All right, go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Today we are very, very fortunate, and once again we are blessed with the divine presence of Prabhuji for the special for the teachers. And as we know that Srila Prabhupada is the best teacher and has his disciples also. So it is very important for all of us as a beginning a small instrument in this line of teacher and to hear from the great teachers. So every teacher also has a teacher. Every teacher is a student and he has a teacher. So I would just like to briefly introduce Prabhuji. Prabhuji appeared in this world in the USA year 1947, and after that in the search of God 1947, and then in the search of God for salvation he met his spiritual master in the year 1921 and then the same year he took initiation, got initiation from his spiritual master K.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. And after that, Srila Prabhupada was very much impressed by the Prabhuji's sincerity and enthusiasm in explaining Krishna consciousness and practicing. And by seeing all the services, in the year 2000, Prabhuji was given the spiritual master post. And since then, he has been actively teaching, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, domestically, traveling and preaching, and especially through internet and preaching. Now Prabhuji has more than 15,000 subscriptions through internet, 16,000 subscriptions, and where he answers the questions, queries, counseling, guiding. So Prabhuji very mercifully agreed so many times to come to our Gurukul to enliven the students and our teachers. We all are very, very fortunate, very thankful and grateful, and would like to welcome Prabhuji with industriously but very slowly chanting three times Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Thank you very much. I wanted to speak something today about education. We are here at the Gurukula, you are the teachers. So the subject matter of education is very, very important subject matter.
This is described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 2. Rajavidya rajaghuyam pavitram midam uttamam prachakshavagamam dhamyam shushukam kratamavyayam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So, you are all teachers, I'm also a teacher. So, as teachers, what should be our proper state of consciousness? What should be our proper state of conduct? What should be our proper understanding about who I am, what is the absolute truth, and what is my duty? These are very important things. Because if we are not solidly fixed in our own understanding, what are we imparting unto our students? You understand? If you're confused about who you are, what is your relationship with Krishna, and what is your ultimate duty, all you can do is pass that on to your students. Krishna says, sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed according to his association. So what sort of association am I giving to my students? Each one of us has to think that way, you see. So what is the qualification for being a pure devotee, actually? I mean to say, I just let it slip. My hand slipped out the answer. What is the qualification for being a teacher? According to Prabhupada's purport, qualification is you have to be a pure devotee. Whoa, a pure devotee? I have to be a pure devotee to be a teacher? Yeah. Does that mean I have to see Krishna face to face? I have to be an uttam adhikari? Not necessarily. If you are strictly following the pure devotee, we have our Srila Prabhupada. You see. He is the highest level pure devotee. If you are strictly following Srila Prabhupada, if you're initiated, you're following your spiritual master, you see, who represents Srila Prabhupada. If you are strictly following the pure devotees, then you are a pure devotee, you see. And those who follow you, they will also become pure devotees. So the first duty of a teacher is you must be a pure devotee. You must strictly follow Prabhupada's instructions, you see. That's the first duty. Prabhupada explains in the Nectar Devotion, 64 activities given by Rupa Goswami of how to properly practice sadhana bhakti. So I should see that I'm properly practicing these activities with full sincerity, with determination, with enthusiasm, with patience. I'm engaged in these activities on a regular daily basis. And then by doing that, I'm qualified to be a teacher. Actually, Lord Chaitanya ordered everyone to be a teacher. Jari deka tadikaha Krishna upadash amaraya guru goya harite yadesh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. What about all the academics and Sanskrit and all these other things we may teach? You see, they are secondary. The primary thing is you must teach your students how to become pure devotees of Krishna. Otherwise, what is the use of your training them? You may train someone to be an expert mathematician, but if he hasn't learned pure devotion in Krishna, what is it? Shama eva kevalam. Simply useless labor. So, we have to remember this. And we have to be very dedicated to inspiring this mood in our students. So what is the essence of this anyway, when it gets down to the moment by moment daily living in the ashram, in the classroom? What does it really boil down to in essence? The essence is you have to be connected with Krishna. That's what it boils down to. Because if you're connected with Krishna, then you can connect your students with Krishna. You may say, well, that's a lot of
That's a big austerity, collecting all these students with Krishna. I mean, I really have to do that. Well, the good news is this. The more you connect others with Krishna, the more you become connected with Krishna. In the material world, if you're a millionaire, the more you give away your wealth, the more you become impoverished. You see? But in Krishna consciousness, it's just the opposite. The more you can connect others with Krishna, the more you can give your time, your energy, and your love to connect others with Krishna, you become even more connected with Krishna. Therefore, being a teacher is the most ideal position. I know that was always my nature, to be a teacher. I tried different, when I was in the material world, I tried different jobs. I hated every job I had except being a teacher. I used to teach guitar lessons. I was at a summer camp and I would teach guitar lessons during the day and I'd lead the singing at night, the whole camp. I'd lead the whole camp in singing every night. We had singing mundane folk songs. It was our Sankirtan. I enjoyed that. The only job I ever liked was teaching, you see. So actually, that is the highest position in the Vedic culture, to be a teacher. It's higher than being the king. To be a teacher is the highest position. One time there was a... You know, you've been to Mayapur. There's Krishnagar near Mayapur. Everyone may have heard of Krishnagar, you see. So why is it called Krishnagar? Well, formerly there was a king, Krishna Rai. He was the king, so it became Krishnagar. So many, many, many years ago, there was a Brahmin living in Krishnagar, very simply under, he had no house. He was married, he had his wife. They just lived under, they slept under the tree at night. And he had a little gurukula there under the tree during the day. The kids, children would come and he would teach them, you see. And so the king heard about this. Oh, there's a Brahmin in my kingdom who's living in poverty. I cannot tolerate this. The Brahmins must be given all opulence and respect and worship. So he came there. My dear Brahmana, I have heard that you're living in poverty. Is that true? He said, no, your majesty. I'm not living in poverty. When my students come to take lessons, they bring some little palm full of rice. My wife, she cooks that rice. There's a tamarind. We're under this tamarind tree. She takes some leaves from the tamarind tree and boils them with the rice. And we're living very opulently under this tamarind tree. We don't need any wealth, you see. So this is Brahmana, you see. The wealth of the Brahmana is to teach Vedic wisdom. The more he can teach, give this knowledge to others, he feels more and more wealthy. You see, that is his wealth. The more he can inspire and teach others in the Vedic way of life, that is his happiness. That is his joy. That is thrilling to him. You see. You know, you may know from the Vedic history, the Greek culture, actually in the Roman culture, they are spin-offs from the Vedic culture. So this concept was still going on even during the days of the Greek civilization. You may have heard of the mighty conqueror Alexander the Great, who invaded India. So he went to they were called philosophers in Greece. They were philosophers. I'm just not forgetting the philosopher's name. Diogenes. So Diogenes, he was living very simply in a barrel. That was his house. He took one wooden barrel and he was living in that barrel. So Alexander the Great, he came to him and he said, oh my dear Diogenes, you're a great philosopher. How can I serve you? And he looked up from his barrel and he said, get out of the way, you're blocking the sunlight. You see. So, the Brahmin, he doesn't need opulence. Whatever comes by Krishna's grace, he accepts it and he dedicates his life for preaching Krishna consciousness and training others in the science of bhakti. The Brahman actually is described by Prabhupada as being the spiritual master of the entire human society. You see? He's the guru of the whole world, the Brahmana, you see. Sannyasi, he is the guru of the Brahmins, and the Brahmins, and they are gurus of the entire human society. So, you are doing the activities of Brahmins, whether you're second initiated or not. I don't know what is your status, but you're doing the work of Brahman, so you must develop all the qualities of Brahman. Shamadamastapav shokcham chantarajamave vacha gyanam vijnanamastikyam brahma karmas pavavajam. Shama, you must have equanimity. Just like in English we say same or sameness, samaha. He takes happiness and distress as the same thing, the mercy of Krishna. Samadhamma, he controls his senses. Tapa, he's austere, you see. He doesn't drink tea or smoke bidi or chew bubble gum, you see. Tapa. Shaucham, he's very clean. He rises early in the morning and takes his bath, anoints his body with tilak, you see. Arjavam, he's very tolerant. Gyanam, he has full knowledge of the Vedic scriptures by hearing from the bona fide guru. He's fully fixed in the theoretical understanding of the Vedic wisdom, Vijnanam. He applies that knowledge in his life, and Astikyam, he has full faith in the scriptures and in Krishna. So in this way, the Brahmana, by manifesting all of these qualities, he's able to awaken his Krishna consciousness. He's able to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. With feeling. He's able to feel the presence of Krishna when he chants the name of Krishna. He doesn't think it's just a sound vibration. He understands this is Krishna. He has personally come. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He personally associates with Krishna. He feels the great happiness of being in the presence of Krishna. And he imparts this mood, this knowledge, and this feeling unto his students so that they can also awaken their dormant Krishna consciousness. In this way, by serving the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enlighten the whole world in the science of Krishna, the teacher, the bona fide teacher of the bhakti cult, he receives unlimited mercy showering down from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Prabhupada wrote in one letter, like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. Now, I understand the latest monsoon was not very good. But Lord Chaitanya's mercy is a very good monsoon season. With huge, huge, huge torrents of rain coming down. You see? That is Gauranga's mercy. So the more you dedicate yourself as teachers to be ideal Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, to inspire and enthuse your disciples, your students, to become true, pure devotees of Krishna, you see, then you're doing the greatest service. Prabhupada was very, very keen for this Gurukula. I was at the first Gurukula in Dallas. I was one of the original teachers, actually, in the first Gurukula. Although Krishna later sent me to do some other service, but at the very beginning I was one of the ashram teachers in the Gurukula, in the very first Gurukula. Srila Prabhupada personally came and he trained the instructors how to train the students, how not to hit them. He said, you can show the stick, but don't hit. Prabhupada very much wanted there should be no mistreatment of the students. And he also, one of the first boys, Prabhupada personally showing him how to write the Sanskrit letters. This little boy's name was Dwarkadesh Das. He was initiated disciple of Prabhupada. A little boy, he was initiated disciple. So Prabhupada called him Mr. DDD, Dwarkadesh Das. You see, DDD. Prabhupada was very affectionate to this little boy, Dwarkadesh Das. I remember he was in our ashram. He was a very nice little boy. And Prabhupada he had very special mercy from Prabhupada. His father came. When the boy was at New Vrindavan, the father came. Father was not a devotee.
The father came in and brought him a fire truck, a toy fire truck for a peasant. And little Dwarkadish Dasi said, "Oh, it is Maya." He did not touch the toy. You see. So if we train these boys, any girls? No, it's all boys. Yeah. If we train these boys how to become very, very attached to Krishna, you see, then you've done the greatest service to help them become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. And then you are true teachers, you see. You are true teachers when you can see that you're delivering these children from birth and death. So that you must think. Every morning you wake up, you should think, my duty is to see that these children become delivered from birth and death. And if you're always thinking like that, you're always dealing with them in that way, your deliverance is absolutely guaranteed. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So always think, this is my duty to see that these children are delivered. I am acting as Siksha Guru, you see, to train these children how to become delivered from birth and death. Is there any questions? I can try to answer any questions there may be. Question? You can write questions on paper and pass the papers forward. Is it necessary to encourage the boys to attend Mangal Arti? I don't know what your policy is here. I'm just coming in as a complete stranger. I don't know anything about your policy, but I was just reading the other day, Prabhupada said the children should go to Mangal Arti. There's a letter right there in the Veda base. Prabhupada said the children should go to Mangal Arti. Prabhupada directly said it. That was the program of the Guru, original Gurukula. Every morning, all the children went to the morning program. That was the standard thing. We have a mixture of non-devotees and non-devotee boys here, so it becomes difficult to train them together. And other problems come, how to train them. Well, you have to make all of them devotees. When I give talk to the boys, I preach so that they will all become inspired to become devotees. I mean, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. If you can't train them to become devotees, they shouldn't even be here. Any child that comes here, the parents should know, he's not just given academic training, we're training him how to become a Vaishnava. That should be understood, in my opinion. Now, I'm not on the board of directors of your Gurukula. I'm just a traveling preacher, I'm just giving my opinions. But you can consider these when you have discussions about your managerial discussions. It doesn't make any sense to me to have just teach academics to get some more tuition. It doesn't make any sense at all. Better to have as many students who want to become devotees. But the best thing is inspire all of them to become devotees. When I preach to them, I demand that they don't. Sometimes I see they're sitting in the back talking. I immediately chastise them. They have to hear. I demand their full attention because I want to impregnate them with bhakti. All of them. So from my perspective, that's how the Gurukula has to be. It has to be a place where every child in this school should be subject to being impregnated with bhakti, Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Why come here? They can go across the street or to that engineering school over there. It doesn't make any sense to have them here. What kind of relationship should there be between the teacher and the students? Very loving or very strict? Very loving and very strict. Both. You see? If you're not strict, that means you don't really love them. It's like when I give the lectures, I'm strict because I care about them. I want them to become liberated. So when I see them talking in the back, one boy, I chastised him so heavily. I told him he was low. I think something had lower than an animal. What did I tell him? It was very heavy, lower than an animal. And you know what? At the end, I said, anybody would like a garland? He was the first boy to come to take the garland.
The first boy, I told him, you are lower than an animal. You can't even sit quietly in the class in front of everyone. I blasted him so heavily, he came up and wanted the flower garland at the end. You see? So actually, being strict, that's a sign of love. You see? Strictness given with love, not out of anger or hatred, but you have to learn how to be strict in a loving way, and they will feel the love. You see, if you're just mellow, everybody do what they want, like a hippie pad, a hippie commune, that's not love. That's impersonalism. You see, real love means there's very strict training, very at the same time very loving training. You see, well, what's the percentage? 90% lenient and 10% strict, probably one time. Strict. But you have to see what's beneficial for each child. You want children have to be taught obedience. It's a very important thing. They have to be taught obedience and how to respect the teachers. There was one question asked. They were criticizing the teachers. Why the teachers are not good devotees? Some question like that in the last time. I chastised them, you see. You are simply taking your own faults and trying to project it onto your teachers. You see. Now, amongst ourselves, we may know we have some faults, okay? But the students should not be seeing like that. They should be having all respect. These people are representatives of Prabhupada, you see. If you're not initiated, you should all be initiated. How many of you are not initiated? Everyone's initiated? Everyone, all the teachers. If you're not initiated, you should be initiated. So you can preach, you can teach as a member of this parampara, you see. Those who are not initiated, you should be initiated in ISKCON. So you can be teach not as simply academics, 1 + 1 = 2, but you can speak as a representative of the Guru Parampara. It's a very important thing. The boys need to have that connection with the Brahma Sampradaya, coming down from Brahmaji to the Goswamis to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati down to Prabhupada. You need to be initiated. Teachers should all be initiated devotees. Thank you very much. Some teachers are not dedicated in their service. They do not follow Vaishnava principles. Well, I just made that point. What good is your teaching if you're not an example? You're just here to earn a living? Better you drive a rickshaw than that's my opinion. You should become a fixed up follower of Vaishnava principles so that you can teach that to your students. As you mentioned, teachers should be a pure devotee following Srila Prabhupada. What about some teachers not following Srila Prabhupada's teaching and teaching in the Gurukula? Well, did Prabhupada authorize that? If somebody is someone, let's say they're a different sampradaya, a strict Vaishnava from a different sampradaya, that's another thing. That may be allowed, you see. We are not sectarian. But if someone is not following Vaishnava principles, you see, they should come to that standard, following Vaishnava principles. Otherwise, what influence they have on the kids? If the teacher is not following any principles, and why the students should think I have to follow my principles? My teacher's not doing it. Why I have to do it? You see? As you have mentioned, that only the pure devotee can become a teacher, but I am not. In fact, I still do a lot of rasakatam knowingly or unknowingly. In that case, am I cheating the students, myself, or Krishna? What should I do immediately? Well, say, my dear Srila Prabhupada, I know I'm deficient in many ways. I'm a rascal. I'm a demon. I'm a rakshasa. My mind is like a monkey jumping here from one object of sense gratification, another object of sense gratification. Please, my dear Srila Prabhupada, please bless me that I can give up my rascal nonsense misbehavior externally and internally and become purely absorbed in your loving devotional service, so that I can properly do my job as a teacher. If you have that mood, then you're okay. That's as good as pure devotion. I'm a math teacher. How can I give Krishna consciousness? Well, when you in the middle, you can talk about Krishna. You can say, Hare Krishna, students. You can go, you can, at the beginning of your math class, you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We think of one, what is one? One is Krishna. We think of two, what is that? Radha and Krishna. We think of three, that's the three modes of material nature. We think of four, that's the four types of prasadam. We think of five, that's the five Pandavas. We think of six, that's the six Goswamis. We think of seven, that's the something. In this way, in it, actually, Jiva Goswami wrote a Sanskrit grammar where he made it all related with Krishna. Have you seen his Sanskrit grammar? So you can relate your mathematics to Krishna. It's like Jiva Goswami's Sanskrit grammar. You can relate your mathematics with Krishna. Many of us are not a part of ISKCON. Well, we have our own gurus. If you are strictly following Vaishnava principles, that's all right. If you are a living, you know, then it's okay. We don't say everyone has to. You may have gotten initiated somewhere else, and you be dedicated to this, to Krishna. That's, and then it's okay. Not that every, there's so many nice. Prabhupada also appreciated devotees who were not within our Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. Just like that, the Sri Sampradaya. He pretty much appreciated Maharaj Kulashekar. He was in the Sri Sampradaya. So we don't say only our Sampradaya, because there are four or five Sampradaya. But one must be strictly following Vaishnava principles, not, you know, drinking liquor, smoking bidi, having tea, like that. If a boy is very naughty and doesn't feel to study after so much motivation, feels always to escape, how to deal? Well, if he doesn't want to do any, if he doesn't want to cooperate at all, he doesn't want to study, he doesn't want to listen in the classes, then, you know, he doesn't have to go to school here. He can go to a karmi school. I mean, he's not going to really be a part of it. You have to think about maybe expelling him. Somebody doesn't really want to be a part of this educational system. Why are we keeping him here? You try to encourage him. I mean, be strict and be loving with him. Try to encourage him to get into it because they want to help him. But if somebody just absolutely refuses to participate and follow the instructions, then he doesn't belong here. I found that some boys are submissive and some are not. It becomes difficult to train them together. In separating these boys and training them, you could do that. It's like in the public schools, for problem children, they have special classes. You could do that if it's practical. You have to see what's practical. It's up to your administrators to make those decisions according to what's practical here. But I know Prabhupada explained that how in a Vedic school, even in America, old time in the American schools, there would be like first grade, second grade, all the way through sixth grade. And one teacher would teach all the students on all the levels at the same time by having them do different assignments. I don't know how that, practically how that's done, but there is such a system that Prabhupada mentioned. So it is possible to train students of different mentalities in the same common classroom if they're managed expertly. It is possible. But if it's not practical, you can always have separate training for them. Krishna consciousness is a procedure. It takes a long time for some and not so long for others. For children, in the process, devotee children get spoiled. Oh yeah, the same question. Okay. All right. Boys don't see the teachers as guru who teaches academic subjects. How can the boys see everybody as their guru? They only see academic, only ashram teachers as their spiritual teachers.
Well, it's up to you to actually be Krishna conscious. If you're just here teaching academics, how do you expect them to see you? But if you're actually trying to help these boys to become Krishna conscious, they will sense that, they will understand that, and they will respect you accordingly. I know they respect me very much. Wherever I go, they offer their obeisances to me. Just coming in, so many boys offer obeisances to me. I see them all in the hall or somewhere, they offer obeisances to me. Because they know I'm trying to help them become Krishna conscious. I love children, students. Even many students also something from different grades, but I am purely an academic teacher. I could not give the time to all those students whom I now not teaching, but they love me. What should I do for such students? I am feeling guilty for not doing anything for them. Well, if you really care about your students, even after the class is over, you can meet with students one-on-one and help them. Do they need any guidance how to become happy in Krishna consciousness? If you can open yourself up after the class as a mentor to help them in their Krishna consciousness. Show them you're not just here to get paid to teach them some academic subject matter. If you really care about their welfare as spirit souls who are entrapped in the modes of nature, if you can show them that compassion, at the end of your class, there may be a few minutes. I don't know how your schedule works, but certainly if you really cared about students and wanted to help them and they wanted help and guidance, there must be some way you can give it to them, even without being their ashram teacher. Why till now in ISKCON Gurukula is not successful? Why do you say it's not successful? And we have many successes of our Gurukula. And we're still learning how to perfect it, but you can't say it's not successful. I can think of devotees who went through the Gurukula system. They came out wonderful devotees at the end. So there is success. How we can increase its success, that's the question. How can you make it more successful? To say it's not successful, I'm sure many of these boys are being I'm sure all these boys are being benefited by the prasadam, by the kirtan, by hearing about Krishna, by being in Vrindavan. They're all being benefited, there's no doubt about it. And it's just a matter of making it more successful, that's all. Yeah? Back? Oh, okay. As an ashram teacher, we have 25 boys under one teacher. We can't train so many boys very well. What should we do? We can have maximum 10 to 15 boys. Well, you can get more teachers. Again, I'm not the manager or the administrator. If you're overwhelmed with too many students, I think it's wonderful. To have so many parents who want to send their children here to be exposed to Krishna consciousness, that itself is a great success of our Gurukula. So many parents are sending the students. If you're finding it's overwhelming, get some more ashram teachers. We have to create an atmosphere that people are waiting. We have more teachers waiting to teach than we have position. That we should create such an atmosphere here that people are just waiting in line to be teachers also. Do you have a teacher shortage? There's teacher shortage? You have many people waiting to become teachers. Shortage? Huh? Shortage? Teacher shortage. You need to run your school in such a way that people are waiting, just begging for the opportunity to become teachers here, you see. That's how you have to, that's when you really be successful. When you're not, maybe you can maintain a high standard, you have to be second initiated, you have to be, you know, to become a teacher. Okay? What can we do to make Srila Prabhupada's desire fulfilled and make students pure devotees of Krishna? Well, you have to be pure devotees, it's very simple. You have to be sincerely striving to awaken pure love of God within your heart. It's a regular daily affair, it's your most important business. And pray to Krishna to help you every day, very sincerely beg Krishna, please, my dear Lord, help me to become your pure devotee. If you have this intense desire within your heart, begging and pleading with Krishna, please help me get out of my nonsense, fallen condition and bless me with pure bhakti. If you have this desire burning in your heart, Krishna will reciprocate with you and you'll be able to inspire others to desire and endeavor in the same way as you are doing, you see. Whatever your mentality is, that's what you're passing on to the kids. If you're not striving for pure bhakti, you're killing them. You're killing them. You're murdering these kids by your bad association. Whatever your sampradaya is, you should be aspiring for pure, loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. Everyone, every teacher here must aspire in that way. To become a pure lover of God. That desire must be there in every teacher. That should be a requirement for a teacher. They all aspire to become completely pure devotees of God. That should be a requirement for being a teacher here at Gurukul. Not some job like being a taxi driver or something. No, it's not like that. Matajis, we have other responsibilities at home. What should be the role of Matajis in Gurukul? It depends on what's your service. I mean, what are you cooking? I don't know what the service is. If you're a teacher, then you have to be like a mother for these boys. You have to see anyone who is a teacher. Bhagavatam says clearly, anyone who is a teacher. That's any kind of teacher. Doesn't matter if it's academic, ashram, whether it's math, whether it's grammar, it doesn't matter. Any kind of teacher must be competent to deliver the students from birth and death by themselves, strictly following the path of bhakti. Okay, so we run out of questions now? Have I helped you in any way? Have I been of any help to you? Is your the head of the school here? Hare Krishna Prabhu. So I hope that I have been of help, because I am not familiar with the policies, and I just came in strictly from a philosophical view. I'm not familiar with, you know, the policies and the practical realities of day-to-day management. I'm just speaking from a purely philosophical view. And I hope, and since plus what I've heard, read Prabhupada said about how the Gurukula should be run, having been there on the original Gurukula, I've read many of those letters about the original Gurukula in Dallas. So I thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gurukula ki jai.